Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to have you with us this evening. I got a pretty good show for you tonight. Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio will be with us to kind of bring a study of self-driving cars, which I don't know if anyone out there has a self-driving car, but these are the ones from like Tesla and Waymo are facing intense scrutiny from U.S. regulators because there's, you know, new questions are starting to arrive about how safe they are. We'll talk with Jeff about that coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. My buddy Tanner Temple from AFP Kansas will answer the question, is the American dream still alive today in 2026. Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will bring us the results of a new study that shows how Google News has helped shape public opinion against the Trump administration with regards to the war in Iran. And Senate President Ty Masterson will bring us a veto session under the dome update from Topeka. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. We missed you last Sunday. Had our Easter Sunday best of show.
That was fun, by the way.
And my wife and I actually listened. It was kind of fun. I hadn't heard, like, that interview with Newt Gingrich and the one with Mike Pence. I hadn't heard those
in a lot. Yeah, in a while.
I had to do some digging for them. It was kind of fun to hear those. So thank you. You put together a very good best of show.
It was fun. It really was.
It was kind of nice. So thank you. Kudos to you. Round of applause to Phil for that. So very nice. But first, here we go again. That's all I got to say. you know, yeah, the corpse is still ripe on the $450 million school bond from less than 2 years ago. And it's certainly, I mean, the ink isn't even dry on the school or the Wichita City sales tax. And now Wichita Public Schools, USD 259, is back with an even bigger ask. $615 million. If you hadn't heard it, let me say that again. I want it to really sink in. $615 million in a new tax increase. And here's the part that should make every taxpayer's blood pressure spike. They're currently holding a series of so-called community input sessions where apparently you get to help them figure out how they want to spend your money. Isn't that nice of them? How nice. But here's the key. None of the options that they're presenting include not spending any money. There's no option, you know, A, B, C, D, none of the above. There's no D, none of the above. Not raising your taxes at all. It's all about how much more they get. It's not, there's never an option of B, you know, D, don't spend any at all. Learn to live within your means. Are you kidding me? That's not planning. That's just fishing. That's just begging. That's just sitting on a street corner with a tin cup saying, please, sir, that's Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? That's walking into your house, holding out a blank check and saying, hey, how much do you think we should take this time? Or better yet, that's holding a gun to your head and saying, give me your money. Give me your wallet. And they expect you to take that seriously. And let's talk about reality for a second. Statewide academic assessments from 2024, that's the most recent numbers that we have, show proficiency in core subjects are still a problem for USD 259. Reading, math, science, the basics. Kids are still struggling. Outcomes are lagging. Now, the district will say, oh, graduation rates are up. Yeah, great. So you're graduating kids that can't do basic math. And what's the district's solution? Well, what it always is, more money. Always more money. Never more accountability. Because here's what they don't want to talk about. Enrollment is down. Wichita Public Schools are down 3,000 fewer students in the district. 3,000 fewer students. They're closing schools. They're closing buildings. They're shrinking the footprint. And yet somehow, magically, they need more money than ever before. Explain that to me. Somebody please explain that to me. I had an hour-long conversation with a member of the school board this last week. Over an hour, we sat on the phone. And I begged them to explain to me how you can have fewer students, fewer buildings, and still need more money. They couldn't explain it. Because in a real world, when you have fewer customers, fewer clients, fewer people to serve, you don't expand your spending. You tighten up, you reassess, you prioritize, but not here. Not in government. Not in USD 259, not at Wichita Public Schools where the teachers union runs the show. Here the formula is simple. Fewer kids, worse outcomes, bigger budget. I mean, that's the math. Certainly is it a failing school district. And we're just supposed to nod along like that makes sense. Because after all, it's for the kids. Remember that, it's for the kids. Let's talk about cost. We're already spending roughly $22,000 per student. And they're scheduled to get more money from the state this year because we lost a lawsuit because we didn't change our judges. And more money from Wichita taxpayers already because of increased property valuations. At least 10% more money. Roughly $100 million more. Just because property taxes keep going up. Valuations keep going up. So they're already going to get $100 million more in property taxes. And they're already going to get more money because the state will give them more money. But that's still not enough. Even though 3,000 fewer students, fewer schools, and $22,000 per student, per kid. But that's not enough. At what point do we ask the obvious question? How much is enough? Well, the answer, of course, for the district is it's never enough because it's clearly not translating into results. You keep pouring more and more taxpayer dollars into a system and then act shocked when people start asking where it's going. And don't forget, taxpayers are already getting hit. Property taxes are up, budgets are ballooning, families are stretched thin, and now this, another $615 million ask with no details, no guarantees, no accountability. Just trust us. Trust you. You just went to voters with a $450 million proposal. You're letting your students walk out in the middle of the day so they can protest ICE. Voters said no, not maybe, not come back later, no. And you think students should spend their days out protesting ICE and calling Donald Trump a fascist. Instead, maybe they should be in the classroom. And instead of taking that message, a very clear message, the district turns around and says, we need more money. That's not listening. That's ignoring. That's arrogance. And let's call it what it is. This is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. They didn't fix outcomes. They didn't address declining enrollment. They didn't rebuild trust. They didn't tighten the belt. They didn't come back with a smarter, leaner, accountable plan. They just added another $165 million to the price tag and hit reset. And now we're supposed to pretend this is progress. Like, why student, you know, they don't want to answer uncomfortable questions. Like, why student performance isn't improving? Like, why enrollment keeps falling? Like, why parents are choosing alternatives? Like, why confidence in the system is eroding? But they don't want to answer those questions because they're hard questions. And hard questions require real answers. And real answers require accountability. And accountability, well, that's the one thing that's missing from this entire conversation. Because at some point, this stops being about investing in education. It stops being about, quote, the kids. And starts being about protecting a system that isn't delivering. And let me be very clear, this isn't about teachers, it isn't about the kids, they deserve better. They deserve a system that works, they deserve results, they deserve leadership that prioritizes outcomes over optics. But what they're getting instead is a blank check mentality. Spend more, ask more, demand more, and when that doesn't work, ask again, and again, and again. Meanwhile, taxpayers are left footing the bill with no guarantee anything improves. So here's the bottom line, Wichita. You already answered this question once, loudly, clearly, decisively. And unless something fundamentally changes, not the messaging, not the marketing, not the price tag, and clearly not this price tag at $615 million, but the system. The system needs to change. And if it doesn't, the answer should be the same. No. Not until there's a real plan. Not until there's real accountability. Don't fix it. Just maybe the problem is too expensive. And Wichita taxpayers, you deserve better than that. We'll take a quick break, and then Tanner Temple from AFP Kansas will answer the question, is the American dream still alive today in 2026? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Nine unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whoever they want for our Supreme Court. Folks, Kansans deserve a voice in judicial selection. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or if you want more information, you can visit takebackthebench.com for more information. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get the latest updates on the show. So America is about to hit a major milestone, 250 years since the founding of the greatest experiment in self-government the world has ever known. But as families get ready to celebrate with parades and fireworks and flags, there's a growing concern that the very promise that built this country, the American dream, may be slipping out of reach for millions of Americans. So the question then becomes, is, you know, the American dream still alive today? So with us now to answer that question is Tanner Temple with Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Tanner, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
So, that, you know, it's a good question, and I think a valid one for sure. It's ironic. A couple weeks ago, I had Daniel Suarez, who's I think number 10 or number 9 in the NASCAR Cup standings right now, and he's a Mexican American immigrant, came here, and now he's racing on the NASCAR circuit. And one of the conversations I had with him was about the American dream because he's literally living it, but there are a lot of people, I think, that ask that question, is the American dream at risk? Is that more of a perception issue, or is that a reality for folks?
You know, it's almost sad that people think that the American dream is at risk. We live in the most nourished, the most opportunity nation based in the world. I mean, think about my grandmother grew up in eastern Colorado during the Dust Bowl. Mm-hmm. If she would have had the tools that we have nowadays, she would be, jumping up with joy. So we are an extremely progressive, innovative, and wealthy nation. So absolutely, the American dream is still alive and well.
Is that, do you think part of that is a pride issue? I mean, there's a recent survey came out and said a drop of nearly 90% of Americans being proud of our country dropped from 90% to 60%. So literally 30% of Americans are no longer proud to be American. And what do you think is driving that decline in national pride?
I think they're on their phones too much, John, and reading too much on the internet.
So I agree, yeah.
If you get out, especially that's what's awesome about living in Kansas. We all have a very work ethic driven integrity force in our state, and we really talk to each other, and we get outside. And I think that's something that really even young people in this nation aren't doing as much anymore. So put down the phone, get outside, get to work. This is still the best nation on the planet. And I think really even a lot of the people that are out there nowadays, they're starting to feel some of that pride again. And I can see it on the internet even when I'm on there. So I think the American dream is still alive and well. We just got to put down the phones and get back to work.
I think one of the keys, though, for this is to make sure that we get government out of the way. You know, housing costs, healthcare, overregulation, are all barriers. And you know, if the goal is to get government out of the way, I think that's got to be one of the keys. You know, so many people want to start a business and want to innovate. And you can't do that when government is overregulating. You know, I just saw an article recently, Cindy Holscher, who is one of the Democrat candidates for governor. And she's touting, and so is Ethan Corson, by the way, touting that we need to raise the minimum wage in Kansas to $13 or $15 an hour. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, that's just what we need. Government mandating the minimum wage in Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's worked out real great in California with this high-speed railway to nowhere. So the more you regulate, the more barriers you have and less innovation that comes out of it. So if you look at states with the least amount of regulations, they have the highest rate of innovation. That's why everyone's moving from California to Texas. So there's always a joke about left-leaning states. You know, if it's fun, they'll regulate it until it's not fun anymore. So I consider California and New York to be a part of those.
We're talking with Tanner Temple from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. And I do think you're right. It is interesting. California, you know, went with that $20 minimum wage for fast food, requirements for fast food. And in the, what is it, 3-5 years since they've done that, the fast food industry has seen rapid decline in job opportunities in the industry because they've gone to kiosks. They've gone to, you know, automated tellers for your ordering system. And inevitably, there have been fewer jobs in that sector because the government stepped up. And I think, you know, there's got to be just a few policy changes that would actually move the needle for Americans if government just gets out of the way and lets the private sector, lets the market drive these innovations instead of government getting in the way. Lower taxes, lower regulation has always worked.
Exactly. And when they talk about the minimum wage all the time, to your point, exactly, like look at McDonald's and Burger King, all these people in these California areas that do these things, what happens is these costs get passed off to the consumers.
Right.
So at the end of the day, the capitalism is still going to work. So if you want to raise the minimum wage, go for it. But guess what? We're going to be paying for it at the register. So it does not work. You can't just raise the minimum wage. If your skill set is in high demand, you will get high pay for it. So, the minimum wage thing is just an outrageous argument.
Well, and I know, I mean, I don't want to get sidetracked into that. I think the bigger message here is America is still the place of the American dream, and it's not slipping out of reach for millions of Americans. But the other key here is you can't sit around and wait for it to happen to you. You have to get off your duff and go earn it.
You're 100% right. I mean, again, I mean, I think I look at my own family, and like I said, I mentioned my grandmother growing up in the eastern Colorado, my mom being born in western Kansas, and we had that work ethic. My parents made us go work at the grain elevator as soon as we could, my brothers and I, and there was not a day I didn't work through college and so forth. So if you want to go get it, you have to have that initiative to have that drive to go get it. And that's something that maybe we're missing as a country nowadays. So the American dream is still alive. You just have to work for it. Everyone wants a handout nowadays, and that's never worked. I mean, you look at the greatest generation, you ask them if they ever got handouts, and it was very rare.
No, so, I was the same way. When I was a kid, you know, as soon as I was old enough, my mother had me get a paper route. And I was, you know, throwing papers at 5 a.m. on every Sunday morning. And believe me, those Sunday editions were heavy. But I would still get up and ride my bike out there with banana seat and all, throwing newspapers because I didn't get an allowance. I had to earn my pay.
Exactly. And we had to earn our independence as a country. I mean, even the farmers that fought against the greatest military force on earth in the 1700s, I mean, we had to earn every single thing up until today. So there's something missing that generation. And as people come into, you know, we have so much comforts in our life, and, you know, we're kind of missing that grind a little bit. So they get to that point, and, you know, we're talking about the minimum wage. They expect handouts. They expect these regulations and everything else and these barriers to protect them. And it does the exact opposite. So the less regulation you have, the more drive you have, you're always going to have better businesses and more success.
Tanner, I know I've got to let you go. I'm up on the bottom of the hour break, but you guys have another day of action coming up here in Wichita this weekend. If folks want to get out, if they want to help, it's coming up on Saturday. It's a great way for folks to get out and help educate voters about stuff that's important. We've got major elections coming up this year, including the judicial selection amendment, the constitutional amendment in August. That's coming up on Saturday, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. And if you want to go to our website, AmericansForProsperity/Kansas or TakeBackTheBench.com, either one of those, you can come join us. We'll be knocking doors, not just on the judicial amendment, but trying to push our 250th year anniversary as a country. So we have a lot of things going on right now at American for Prosperity, and we'll be at the doors.
And we appreciate you, my friend. Again, that's Tanner Temple. And if folks are interested, again, it's TakeBackTheBench.com and AmericansForProsperity.org. I appreciate you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks, John. Take care.
We'll see you Saturday. Coming up, Senate President Ty Masterson will bring us a veto session under the dome update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on a scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news, even if you're away from your radio, by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And you can find me on X at John R. Whitmer. Was the best ways to get all the latest updates on the show. So the 2026 legislative session is officially in the books. This week began with the governor vetoing dozens of bills and 16 pages of line items out of the budget. But the week ended on a much brighter note as the legislature further cemented Governor Laura Kelly's place as the most overridden governor in the history of Kansas. Yeah, well, you know, gives her a legacy. With us now is Senate President Ty Masterson to bring us our final Under the Dome update of the session. Senator, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Glad to be here, John. It was another good one. We did set a brand new record. I think in total it was 35 overrides.
Wow.
Fully completed.
35
policy items, and yeah, 35. 20 were straight up policy items, and then 15 of her budget line items. And it was stuff that was, well, it wouldn't surprise your audience. You know, it was stuff that was making our elections have more integrity and with immigration and public safety and school freedom and all that. We had to override vetoes to get any of that. So
I was surprised. I mean, some simple things like the unanimous, you know, administration and regulation bill that passed both chambers without any opposition And she vetoed that. I mean, there were things that she was vetoing that real head scratchers.
I don't know how to explain. That's the first time I've seen a veto of a bill that was unanimously passed in both chambers. I just never seen that before. Not sure what she was thinking. So
yeah, well, you know, we could be here all night trying to figure out what Laura Kelly's thinking. There was let's talk about the big elephant in the room. And you know, I've known Dan since I served with him in the House, and I love the Speaker. I absolutely love Dan, but I don't, and we don't want to talk about my House rep, because if I get talking about Brian Bergkamp, I'll get myself in trouble, because I'll face an FCC fine because I might say something that I'm not supposed to say on the air, because that guy voted against every tax bill that came out, and then twice on Sunday. But
it shocked me. Yeah, that's for sure.
We couldn't get the cap done. They did pass property tax reform.
The Senate sent three different versions of the cap, too.
I know you did. The House wouldn't do the cap. There was a property tax bill that came out. Do you think the governor will veto that, or you think there's a chance she might let that come into law?
Well, she vetoed the last one, right? We did a revenue limit bill right before we left, and then she vetoed that. And so this is the second. Now, this one is watered down significantly. What frustrates me to no end is it does start putting limits in, but I mean, the limits are high enough. I mean, I can't honestly go out and say we're not bringing significant property tax relief to our constituents like we want to, but it is a start, and I hope it's watered down enough she'll sign it. And then next year when we have a Republican governor, we'll take real swings at him.
It is a start. And I, you know, that's one of the things that frustrates me is I think there's a lot of folks, particularly in the House, that were voting no because they were holding out for perfection. And, you know, Ronald Reagan was one of those who would always say perfect is the enemy of good. And you've got to take incremental wins when you can get them, if you know what I mean. And I think that was what was so frustrating for me was, look, if you can get a win, take a win. But some of our guys just were refusing to take, you know, yes for an answer. And I mean, kudos to the Speaker for getting past what he could get past. But if you're a betting man, do you think Laura Kelly will veto this?
If I'm a betting man, I would not put much money out there that she doesn't. Mm.
Well, I did see it.
It's actually likely she does.
Yeah, I did see a tweet from Ethan Corson, who is, you know, the heir apparent. And he came out publicly against it, and that should be an indicator right there.
Yeah, and all the Democrats in the Senate voted against it. I think there were a handful of Democrats on the House side actually voted for it, but the majority of all the Democrats voted against every single tax relief bill we put out on property.
So. Yeah, well, it wasn't only Democrats, sadly.
No, I was just saying it's an indication of a veto.
Yes,
the majority of Democrats. What caused us the problem on the constitutional amendment that would have limited the increases was the disagreement that there were about 19 Republicans in the House that sided with the Democrats to kill every one of those versions. And what they didn't like was the fact that there was authorizing language that would allow the legislature, the people's representatives, to actually put caps and limits in on property tax, on all property. And they just did. They wouldn't take it.
I'm aware. Trust me. I'm aware. My rep was one of them. I'm aware.
Yeah.
We're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. You guys did have some wins on, you know, some of the overrides. There were a couple of pro-life bills. We had the public safety bill that the governor, you know, couldn't help but veto. And this one allows law enforcement to cooperate with federal authorities. You guys had a number of wins in those areas, though.
Yeah. And on that, it also not just protecting our law enforcement, protecting our citizens, but even protecting the protesters. Right. I mean, it's one of those had that what we call the HALO Act.
Right.
You need to stay 25 feet back from active law enforcement engagement, or you may get arrested yourself. And we had some people saying, well, you're stopping free speech. That's completely wrong. You can still stand there and have your vile sign and yell your crazy thing. you just can't go up and be right up on the law enforcement officer, which is just not safe. So we did take some great strides on public safety. Oh, and we overrode the veto to opt in to the federal tax credit for education.
Right. Saw that.
Which was a foolish thing not to do. Right. We had done the cell phone ban earlier in the year. We passed some stuff on civics and, you know, teaching the real plight of communism and socialism. So
yep.
We had some real stuff. Kirk Act.
That was going to ask you about the Kirk Act. Yeah. That's another one that she vetoed. You'd think that Democrats would be in support of free speech.
You would think, but only if it's their speech.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Only if it's speech they agree with.
Yes, it's terrible.
So you guys are
for Maha too.
I'm sorry, say again.
You know, we did some stuff for the Make America Healthy stuff too. We as far as recess and presidential fitness and things like that. I mean, there was some fun stuff we got done. We weren't able to get the food dye ban that the Maha movement was interested in. The House wouldn't have it. Senate put that out, but we couldn't get that done either. Oh, and then the SNAP waiver, you know, we're not buying pop and candy on food stamps. So there were some good things there too.
So now, the session is over with, and it really, I mean, as I know, as I'm sure, you know, many of our listeners are aware, sine die hits, and it's like the, you know, at a racetrack, when the gate comes up, it's off on running on elections.
Yeah, for the entire House and every statewide.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yep.
So that's what the focus will be now is, you know, trying to maintain our House majority and then these statewide elections. And that's got to be the big focus now, especially over on the House side, is maintaining that House supermajority, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Because the thing is, since we failed on a constitutional amendment, if the House loses its supermajority, we won't have, there'll be a whole term you can't get a constitutional amendment because that has nothing to do with who's in the governor's office, right? That's the supermajority of the legislature. And if we lose the supermajority on the House, getting a constitutional amendment to restrict property tax would be basically impossible.
Well, and the other thing that we have to focus on at this point as well is changing who resides on the second floor. That is getting a Republican governor. That's got to be priority number one.
Nobody more invested in that than me.
That is true. And along those lines, if folks want to reach out, if they have questions, if they want to, you know, support you, if they have questions or they want to get more information, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
MastersonForGovernor.com.
Say, look how I did that.
We'd love to have everybody. Appreciate you.
Ty, we appreciate you. This will be our last Under the Dome update for the year. So we appreciate you joining us, my friend. And you guys had a late night and early morning on Friday night, Saturday morning. But we appreciate you and all the good work that you did this session.
Thanks, John. Keep up the fight.
Thanks, Ty. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, coming up this Saturday is the next Day of Action with Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Great group of folks. It's a great opportunity for you to get out there and help educate voters and make your voice heard. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org for more information. And again, it's a really very good way to help educate voters. And heck, it's good exercise. And again, I know my wife and I will be out door knocking, and a great way to get involved. Plus, coming up on Thursday, the 16th, is the next monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. They're going to have a recap from both chambers, Senate Majority Leader Chase Blasey and House Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. We'll bring a full recap of the 2026 legislative session that starts at 6:30, and it's at the Wichita Area Builders Association. Again, that's coming up on Thursday night. So I'll give you a couple things that you can do. Terry, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Thank you, John Whitmer. I'll be real brief. I had read a rather disturbing article by Joseph McKinnon on April the 4th of this year, and it was titled Radicals Trained for a Massive May Day Protest at Public Schools Thanks to America's Largest Teachers Union. Mm-hmm. Protesters are apparently planning to march into schools across the nation on May the 1st. I was just curious if you heard anything about that.
I haven't, and it'll depend on when the that new law that they passed. Now, they're doing another, like a walkout, basically.
Well, I just said the protesters are apparently planning to march into the schools across the nation.
Interesting.
On May the 1st.
Well, they can't. I mean, they can't walk. Most of them, certainly here in Kansas, you can't walk in. Almost every school here in Kansas is secured. All the buildings, you can't get in without, you know, going through checkpoints and security. So I'm not too worried about that. And now the legislature, you know, the governor vetoed it, but they were able to override her veto. So now these protests, you know, student walkouts and whatnot, these students are going to face, well, the students will get, the legislature passed a new bill this year. And I love what they did, actually. It holds the districts accountable. If students protest and walk out, the district can face fines, and I love how they did it. Basically, what will happen is if there's a walkout, there's a student protest, and the district doesn't enforce it, they will be fined up to the superintendent's salary per day. So like here in Wichita, that'd be I think the superintendent makes 300 some thousand a year. They could get $300,000 fine per day if they, and the way it works is if they, you want to do a protest, that's fine, but you have to get, every student has to get permission from their parents in order to do the protest. The district cannot be involved in any way. No teachers can be involved, and the district cannot support it in any way. And if any of those criteria are violated, then the district will be fined. And I look, I'm all for free speech, but students are, your job as a student is to go to school and be educated. And right now, when you've got like a USD 259, barely 30% of the students can read, write, and do basic math. That's what your job is. And if you want to protest, go do it after school. But if you're going to walk out, then there should be consequences for that. And the district shouldn't be encouraging it. You had the, I apologize, Terry. I appreciate the call. But like in Lawrence, you actually had the district encouraging it. Earlier this year, the superintendent or principal was passing out hand warmers and putting up flyers for the dang thing. And with this new law, that would be basically punished. And these school districts need to be focused on educating and not indoctrinating students. And this law would fix that. So I, you know, Terry, I'm not all that familiar with the May Day thing, nor am I really concerned about it, because they're not going to be able to get into the schools. And if the kids want to leave, I don't know if this new law will take effect. Typically, new legislation like this doesn't go onto the register until July 1st. So that would be my guess, is that this stuff won't be effective until the next school year. This would be this fall, you know, when they go back to school in the fall. But either way, going forward, there will be consequences if these districts don't do a, well, basically, if they don't focus on educating kids. I mean, Phil, this is crazy. These districts, look, again, I'm all for free speech. I support the Kirk Act, but that's college. High school, go to class. You know?
After 3:30?
There you go.
Be my guest.
Knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. Go out there and be a young skull full of mush, as you know Rush used to say. But in the meantime, go to class. And you know, if you want to go be a young radical afterwards, go be a young radical. But hopefully that answers your question, Terry, and we'll see what happens in May. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will bring us the results of a new study that shows how Google News has been shaping public opinion against Trump. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Folks, KNSS is always here for you. Let's Keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to the number 39179 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. We got a topic I want to talk with my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters with. But first, well, first off, let me get him on. Curtis, good evening, my friend. How are you, sir?
Good evening. Good to be with you, as always.
Okay. But before I get to the topic, we have some breaking news. This is he posted this less than a half an hour ago. Eric Swalwell, Congressman Eric Swalwell, posted, quote, "I am suspending my campaign for governor. To my family, staff, friends, and supporters, I am deeply sorry for mistakes in judgment I've made in my past. I will fight the serious false allegations that have been made, but that's my fight, not a campaign's," unquote. So Eric Swalwell is suspending his campaign for governor of California. That was literally within the last 20 minutes he posted that on X. Curious, for those who don't know, there've been, I don't know, dozens of allegations of sexual assault and misconduct against him. Of course, he's unfit to be a governor, but he's still not, he's still fit to be in Congress, apparently.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, number one, John, let this be a lesson to everyone. It's sometimes it is the people you, in fact, most suspect are the ones who actually are doing things. And the second thing is you've seen a lot of Democrats today come out and said that they would support telling him to resign or booting him from Congress. And that's only cynically because it would not affect the balance of power, because on the Republican side, there are some issues with Tony Gonzalez. Folks are unaware he probably had an affair with his chief of staff. He was very aggressive pursuant of her, even though she was married. She ended up dying by suicide. She lit herself on fire in really horrible circumstances. And so he's being seriously thought about as removing as well. So I think both sides at this point are being like, now the Republicans now feel confident they can get rid of Swalwell, whereas the Democrats now feel confident they can get rid of Mr. Tony Gonzalez because, it's an even trade here.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting.
The media feel that way, of course, too.
Right.
I repeat myself.
Yes. I just think it's very interesting that, this was the guy who was immediately calling for Trump's resignation over the, Jeffrey Epstein and every other accusation, and yet he's still, not resigning from Congress.
Don't pay attention to what's going on over here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
the magic trick.
Right. A little breaking news on the John Whitmer Show. So, all right. So let me get to this. So obviously we've got the stuff that's going on in Iran, and we've got tensions, with Iran and apparently, I wasn't aware of this, but apparently, according to Google, a majority of Americans now oppose the U.S. involvement in a war with Iran, which I think is interesting because as I talk to people and if I've had people call the show, I don't get that message. But, right. If you look at Google News, yes, the vast majority of Americans oppose the war in Iran. I don't even, frankly, Curtis, I don't even consider it a war. I think it's a flea spick. we're as far as I'm concerned, it's like a military operation, sort of like a war with Grenada was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I mean, I think number one, it's a level of PTSD I think a lot of Americans still have from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah,
that like, oh my gosh, war must be like this. An entire generation now thinks that, and you're like, no. Those were quagmires for a reason. you know, and then also number two, when it comes to polling, you know, it all depends on the questioning. How
exactly.
Being phrased.
And who you ask. I mean, I've worked in politics for years.
The samples are skew one way or the other, usually to the left. So it's not exactly representative of the country, or if you're doing state polling of, the, you know, kind of the state makeup of voters. So when it comes to Google, Google News, again, you know, and anytime we talk about this here on this show, the key is if you're listening to this show, chances are you're probably not getting your news from Google News. We're talking about your friends, the drive-bys that kind of parachute in, parachute out, that kind of look at these stories. So 183 stories from the left this past month about the Iran war, 183 from the left, according to allsides.com. So it's a third party, nothing to do with the MRC. Only 6 stories came from right-leaning sources.
Shocking.
I.e. FoxNews.com.
Shocking.
So, of course, so we're dealing with Al Jazeera, the BBC, Reuters, Guardian, you know, that kind of thing. 239 stories total, only 6 from the right. So you do the math. That is infinitesimal. Decimal small.
Right.
That is just, we're dealing with single digit percentage. Like,
well, 2%. And so no wonder then that, you know, the people who read it, well, if you're having that kind of overwhelming negative coverage, then that's going to skew your perception of the war because you're being bombarded by negative stories.
He says everything's going to be fine, and oh my gosh, one guy got shut down. I mean, not right. To, like, we leave, the point was made, we never leave anyone behind. However, the reality is, the statistics show that we've done 11,000, 12,000, like, individual bombing runs in this conflict, and there's been one shoot down
right.
Over Iran.
And both pilots one. Came out successfully, unscathed.
Correct,
right.
Exactly. So if Iran... You know, other than the Strait, if they had cards to play other than the Strait, if their military was still in such great shape that our esteemed journalists that are on Google News, like the Washington Post and everybody else, were saying, we'd have a lot more casualties from planes being shot down. We would have damage to our aircraft carriers. You know, this would be like the Battle of Midway or something like that.
Exactly.
That is not what we're dealing with here, and it's hard to show the American people because unlike boots on the ground like in Iraq, where, you know, journalists could embed with, you know, different platoon, battalion, like that kind of thing, the, you know, 82nd Airborne or whatever, you know, these are individual guys on F-15s, you know, one or two seater bombers.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of hard to, like, a journo to, like, go along and see what's going on. And obviously, like, somebody at CENTCOM back in Tampa, no one's going to be sitting in the computer room flying drones with them. You're obviously not going to have that happen as well. Oh, and I just have to say, Google has pushed back on, and other these news apps have pushed back on us, and they always say, well, if you go to the For You tab, the more you interact with it, we'll give you, like, news from more outlets you're looking for. John, let's be honest. Who scrolls past, like, story 3, story 4?
Exactly.
On a list like that? Well, and that's what we look at there.
And the other thing that's interesting, and we're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters, the other thing is interesting is which news outlets they're featuring. According to your analysis, the report says foreign outlets like Al Jazeera were heavily featured. So,
yeah, the Qataris, yeah.
Right, yeah. So what kind of news coverage are we going to get if you're featuring Al Jazeera? I mean, gee, I think we're probably
BBC.
Not going to get... Right. I mean, those people love Trump, you know.
Yeah, I mean, those are the outlets that they were like, people weren't, you know, there's like, you know, there's debate about whether people were actually, like, assaulted on October 7th in Israel.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Those are the kind of people
exactly.
That we're dealing with here. Qatari state media, you know, Al Jazeera, folks of a certain, listeners of a certain age may recall, that was the outlet that whenever there were beheading videos, either with ISIS or Al-Qaeda, like Daniel Pearl, things like that, they love sending them to Al Jazeera because... You know, the terrorists watched them, too, because they could see it as, you know, a propaganda campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
And Al Jazeera is more than happy to participate in that. So that was basically more or less Osama bin Laden's favorite news channel.
Of course. Well, it's like the hometown news. Yeah, so the question then here, Curtis, I know I'm coming up on a break here, but the question that I have is, are Americans forming opinions, or are those opinions being formed for them?
Right, it is being formed for them, and because it's such a... because it's far away. It's not something that, like, you can reach out and touch and see for yourself. You know, whereas issues like the economy or immigration, you know, those are tangible things that are, like, right in front of us in our communities directly. The actual, you know, again, direct effects. Whereas right. with this war in Iran, it's such a far thing. And it's just a shade more open than North Korea. Like, 95% of the country doesn't have internet.
Right. All right, before I let you go, quick question. What's give me your odds. Swalwell, does he resign? Is he kicked out, or does he ride this out? Does he stay in Congress?
I don't see how he... I think he may try to go a few days, but I think by week's end, either he's kicked out in a one-for-one swap, prisoner swap, you know, or each one of our guys walks a plank or something like that.
Do you think he resigns from Congress?
Or if he's not voted out, you know, maybe that's the other thing, too. If the votes are there, you know, some people would rather quit than, you know, be George Santos.
Right. That's Santos. That's good. All right. Brother, I appreciate you. Again, if folks want to check the article, read it for themselves, they can find it at newsbusters.org, correct?
Absolutely. Stay tuned tomorrow morning. I've got a big study coming out about hospice fraud. What are the networks doing on that?
Okay. We'll check it out. Again, newsbusters.org, and they can find you on X at Curtis Houck, correct?
Correct. All one word.
Yep. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right. Carry on, my friend. Thank you so much, buddy. As always.
Coming up, we'll take your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, 316-869-1330. Our phone lines are open. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing can score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
You ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. Andy built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Let me tell you about the next day of action with the great folks at AFP. It's coming up this Saturday. It's a great way to help mobilize grassroots activists for legislative advocacy, door knocking, phone banking here in Wichita. Obviously, the judicial selection amendment is coming up this August. You can visit ks.americansforprosperity.org for more information, and a great way to get involved, get out, get some exercise, help educate voters about the issues that matter and make your voice heard. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, don't forget, coming up on Thursday at 6:30 at the Wichita Area Builders Association is the next Sedgwick County Republican Party monthly meeting, with the speakers this month are Senate Majority Leader Chase Blasey and House Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. Will bring us a review of the 2026 legislative session. So you'll get a recap of the veto session, everything else from leaders from both chambers. And we have more breaking news. I like breaking news on the John Whitmer Show. Look at that. We even have breaking news music. The Department of Homeland Security has now launched an investigation into Eric Swalwell for allegedly illegally hiring a Brazilian nanny who did not have lawful work authorization. USCIS has referred it to the Department of Homeland Security law enforcement. So, I mean, this story with Swalwell, I mean, the Swalwell's a jerk. He's an absolute jerk. Yeah, I mean, the guy's is a disgrace. I've always thought, ever since he had the whole Fang Fang thing with the Chinese spy, he was not worthy of being a member of Congress. He never should have been elected in the first place. But that's Democrats. Democrats don't care. They wanted him in there, and so they got him in there. And he's got now multiple fresh sexual assault allegations. The problem is, if you look at the California governor's race, the next up is Katie Porter, who is another absolute crackpot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and she's got a temper. I mean, you've seen her.
I remember, what was it, a couple of months ago?
Yeah, when she was yelling and cussing at her staffer, and she's got a hot temper. We've got multiple videos of her berating her staff. She yells. She's like Kamala Harris with her staff. This lady's crazy. So this is California Democrats. They got their choices are between, you know, crackpot and crackpot A and crackpot B. But that's what they don't care. They're California. They've had Gavin Newsom. Guys run their state into trillions in debt. But now, you know, now what do they got? They got a sexual assault allegations, or Katie Porter, who's, you know, crazy.
A gal who has emotional issues.
Serious. Temper issues. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And certainly is not, neither of them are competent. But, you know, then you got Swalwell, who, you know, farted on TV back in 2019. This is their bench, folks. This is who the Democrat Party is. Think are they're up and coming leaders, but they can always, you know, let's bring in AOC. She can do it. You know, that's who their front runners are for president, is Kamala Harris and AOC.
Oh my goodness!
Imagine. Well, Pete Buttigieg. There's, you know, Pete.
Mayor Pete.
Mayor Pete. He's qualified. Yeah. You know, that's the bench. That's the Democrat Party bench for you. Right there.
I know Gavin's wife is not doing him any favors either.
No. I saw that.
If I think his chances would improve if she stayed off of social media. But,
yes.
But hey, who am I to let me just open the door? Let
yes.
me just Olay
yeah,
hey, her
lady,
right in
knock
there.
Yourself
hey,
out. Yes, please. Yeah, please keep talking. That's like Kamala Harris. Please, you know, announcing she wants to run for president. And my first thought was, please do. Please run for president again. It worked so well the last time. Yes. I saw that announcement that she's thinking about running again. And my first thought was, oh, God, yes, please do. It worked out so well the last time. We'd love to have you run again. We'll take a quick break, pay a few bills. And then Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio will tell us how self-driving cars from companies like Tesla are facing intense new scrutiny from U.S. regulators. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Federal auto regulators have escalated a probe of Tesla after several of its cars crashed while using its self-driving feature, just as CEO Elon Musk prepares to roll out a new model with no steering wheel or pedals. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said in a memo that it was examining 9 crashes where the self-driving software failed to quickly alert drivers to take control in fog and other poor conditions because the vehicle's cameras weren't picking out road hazards. With us now is Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio. Jeff, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, John.
So, Jeff, this is becoming an issue. I mean, Tesla is facing intensified scrutiny from U.S. safety regulators regarding how its full self-driving software handles poor road conditions, particularly a reduced visibility, correct?
Yeah, maybe it's just a matter of getting the kinks out. And it's really not just Tesla, but for now it is, with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration looking into 9 crashes where Tesla's self-driving software apparently failed to quickly alert drivers to take control in poor conditions. Because Tesla's vehicles' cameras, they weren't picking up road hazards like sun glare or too much fog. The increased regulatory scrutiny comes as Tesla also is set to roll out its robo-taxi service with no one behind the wheel in several U.S. cities this year. It's also planning to a production launch of its no-wheel, no-pedal cyber cabs to sell to customers next month. Now, Tesla vehicles, they rely solely on cameras to spot issues on the road. Others supplement cameras with light radar or LIDAR. That's what Waymo and some others use. Tesla calls its driver assistance software full self-driving, but it's also supposed to be supervised by human drivers. You're not supposed to take your eyes off the wheel right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little different there. I mean, like, for example, you know, my wife and I own a Cadillac, and it has, quote-unquote, self-driving. But, you know, if I don't have my hands on the wheel, it'll ding at me. This is a very different situation. A buddy of mine owns a Tesla, and he literally tells it where to go, and then he can sit there and read the paper. I don't know if I trust this, though, but this is literally what Teslas are designed to do, though, correct?
It's exactly what they're designed to do. You know, first of all, Alphabet owned Waymo, Amazon owned Zoox, and other autonomous vehicle companies. They've also faced technical and safety issue challenges. But Tesla is constantly updating its technology and making things better as they have hiccups with their technology. But Elon Musk has said over the weekend on X that Tesla AI self-driving is going to be 10 times safer than human driving.
Uh-huh.
You know, at some point, and there was a clip over the weekend that was on X, and it shows the difference between a human driver and FSD. FSD sees a person crossing the road at night and slows down for them, while the human driver in front of them with the camera rolling, basically almost ran down that pedestrian. Tesla saying instead of simply braking after the fact, that FSD is able to anticipate intent before a human pedestrian is even stepping into the road. So they're watching body movement. And I mean, you know, AI, and as the years go by, this could be, it's already crazy technology. And it's only getting better. And that's what Elon Musk is saying here, that, you know, it's going to be, well, here's the deal, John. It better be good, because if this is the way of the future,
right,
you better get these kinks out. But, you know, 10 years ago, we were talking about autonomous vehicles, you know, hitting pedestrians and killing them. And even 5 years ago, with some cases, one of the recent GM and it's a self-driving arm of his that company, Cruise, had, it was basically folded after California regulators said no more. Waymo's had some issues. And of course, Tesla's had some issues as well, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
We're talking with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio. But the interesting thing here is, I mean, Tesla, like you said, they have reliance on these cameras alone, essentially. What happens in inclement weather, you know, mud situations, like snow? I mean, does that factor into it at all?
Yeah, it factors it because it clouds cameras and it makes it difficult. I don't know. I don't personally own one of these like you, but I've got some technology in my cars. And I would have to think, you know, during inclement weather, snowy weather, that's the time where you want to probably put your hands on the wheel.
I would think so.
And control.
What about, I mean, I wasn't there something that came out recently that there was going to have one of these that didn't even have a steering wheel, correct?
Yeah. Well, Tesla's coming out with a new model. It's a no wheel, no pedal cyber cab that is going to be selling to customers this year. And, you know, it's, apparently it's the way of the future. I still, and you know, younger people are more in on this type of technology, but I think those of us who are a little bit older, who, you know, maybe know what it's like to drive a 5-speed and to feel that roar.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fun of a vehicle, it's going to be hard to give up. So,
Jeff,
you know,
wasn't there also some concerns about Tesla facing scrutiny over reports of malfunctioning door handles in crashes that actually trapped passengers in cars?
Yeah, there is a certain safety release inside those vehicles, but it's I wouldn't know how to get to it if I. You know, if I got into a Tesla vehicle right now, I don't own one, but you're supposed to not panic, but in those types of situations, we've seen it where people have panicked. They don't know, they either don't know where the automatic release is or how to get to it, and there's been some issues. But yeah, I mean, there's been several issues, lots of issues surrounding not just Tesla, but these electric and autonomous vehicles. And we could be here all day talking about the laundry list of concerns that there is and that they pose. I mean, one example is the weight of these vehicles. Our infrastructure on roads and guardrails and bridges didn't factor in the extra 10, 20,000 pounds for the batteries of these vehicles. And in a crash, I mean, you know, those vehicles are so much more heavy. And that could be a problem. Also, you know, fire hazards and things like that. But the technology and these vehicles they're not stopping. They're continuing to be produced. And the Tesla Model 3, one of the most popular. I'm sorry, the Model Y, one of the most popular and 3 really vehicles in the U.S. And Elon Musk is selling a lot of them.
So just to kind of put a bow on this, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration is, I mean, looking into it, but they're not putting a stop to any of the production, correct? It's just an inquiry at this point.
That's right. They're just looking into it. Several incidents where, it was poor conditions, be it sun glare, be it fog, be it, rainy, snowy, where cameras weren't able to pick up certain situations on roads. And so they're looking into it. Of course, Tesla's always saying that it's constantly updating its technology and, to deal with issues that come up, and largely they've been really successful at it. And, they haven't commented on this situation, but as I just laid out, there was an issue, over social media over the weekend where Elon Musk did in fact say that, look, this is really going to be the safest way to travel into the future.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you joining us. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to follow you on social media, what's the best way for them to do that?
They won't, because I'm not on social media.
Well, all right. there's a man after my wife's heart. I appreciate you, my friend. As always, you bring us the best content out there, and we appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Do you trust him? Phil doesn't. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you can join Americans for Prosperity Kansas this Saturday for a focused day of action as they take their message on judicial selection reform directly to voters. It's a great way to make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. You can sign up and help educate voters on an issue that is very, very important, probably one of the most important, arguably more important than the governor's race. I think it's really, to be honest with you, I think it's a toss-up. But again, it's AmericansForProsperity.org, and make your voice heard. That's a biggie.
Biggie is kind of an understatement there.
And I think, by the way, I also think this is the last week that we'll take nominations for the White Rhino Award. Legislation, the session's over. We've had a lot. We've had a number of them that were not legislators. We've had a couple
but still worthy candidates.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple of city council members that were nominated, a couple of members of Congress that were nominated. Mm-hmm. I haven't decided if I'm going to name names, but and a lot of legislators.
Yep.
A couple from Wichita, a couple from across the state. So.
And we've got a real purdy trophy for
it. Yeah, we've got a real purdy trophy that none of them have claimed. The winners, well, that's not true. The first couple of years, I did have a couple of them actually want the trophy, and I don't know what they did with it. But the last couple, they haven't wanted the trophy. We'll see if this year's winner wants the trophy. Who knows? It may be someone in Wichita, because one of the names is one of the. We're like neck and neck is a Wichita rep.
Okay. All right. Oh, I like that. The tease. Yes. That's
one of them is neck and neck. The veto session was not kind to a couple of the nominees.
Folks, stay tuned.
Yes. Yes. It was not kind to a couple of the nominees.
Hey, going back to your talk with Ty last hour, and we were talking about the vetoes.
Yeah.
And I stand amazed at, one, how many vetoes the governor had.
Oh, well, she loves that veto pen.
I thought last year was bad. This year, she outdid herself.
Oh.
And then, two, how many were overridden? And I was talking with you off air earlier. If the governor had a batting average,
she
would be batting below the Mendoza line.
Yeah.
So,
she's not doing well.
Let's go back to when you were in the House. Did you have anything like this at all?
No,
there were veto sessions.
Keep in mind, when I was in the legislature, we had a Republican governor.
That's true.
So the only, we had Sam. And then
he wasn't the most popular Republican governor.
And Dr. Collier,
yes.
Because Sam then got appointed to ambassador
of religious freedom. So then I had Dr. Collier as governor. Mm-hmm. And we only had to override Sam. Oh, there were a couple of, but you know, rarely does the legislature override, you know, a Republican legislature override a Republican governor.
Yeah.
Now, if Vicky Schmidt becomes governor,
oh my,
that may be a different story. Yeah. But it may be difficult too, because there are a number of squishy Republicans that won't want to override just because, well, you know, she's a Republican and so we don't want to override her. So that is part of the problem. If Vicky Schmidt becomes governor, is it there? It will be hard to override her just because there are some squishy Republicans that will feel obligated to not override her, and her policies will be the same as Laura Kelly's. So.
Yeah, and maybe I should have prefaced my question by saying that, of course, there was a Republican in the governor's mansion when you were in
yeah,
the
there
house.
Was, I mean, there so was the,
yeah, of course,
Medicaid
that would make
expansion time. There was some, I seem to recall, there was some budget times. Budget was really the big things was Sam, was budget related. Mm-hmm. You know, where he would try and do a budget issue in the legislature. That was really the biggest ones, was debates over budget. I do remember, I've always been a fan, and I'm not a good one to ask, because in my time in the legislature, I don't remember ever voting for a budget. I think I always voted against the budgets. I was one of those guys that said, you're increasing spending, I'm voting against it, because I always felt like we were always spending too much. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't real cooperative when it came to budgets, because they were always spending more money.
Well, yeah, because they probably weren't looking at what they already had and see what they could do with what they had.
They weren't making cuts. I always felt like if you're going to spend more here, you needed to offset it with a cut there. That was my philosophy, was if I'm increasing spending for some new project here, you need to offset that with a cut someplace else. And if you don't, then I generally didn't want to vote for it.
And not to get off on a tangent, but when people hear cut, they think, oh, we're going to have the bare bones of something.
There's
that's not it at all.
Correct. And that was the other fallacy of, you know, the Brownback administration, because every time you hear the left now, they talk about Brownback cutting education. That's a lie. Sam Brownback never actually cut education. The only governor to ever cut education in the last 20 years was Parkinson, a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He actually cut education. Sam Brownback cut. So the schedule was to increase education funding by $100 million. That was the plan, was to increase it by $100 million. Sam only increased it by $50 million. Okay. He's still, and I'm just giving you round figures. Uh-huh, okay. Yeah. So Sam increased funding by $50 million, but he didn't increase it by $100 million. So they called that a cut. Now, he still increased funding. He just cut the amount of the increase. But only in Kansas politics is a cut to the amount of your increase considered a cut. And that's what they all say, that Sam Brownback cut education funding. He didn't. He just cut the amount of their increase. But if you talk to anybody from K-12 education or the press or anybody right now, they'll say Sam Brownback cut education funding. It's a bold-faced lie. He didn't. He just cut the amount of their increase.
I should have queued up never enough.
Yeah, well, it isn't never enough. It's never enough, and here we are back at it again, and but that's okay. You know, we'll never learn until we stop the madness. It's insanity here. It really is. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be back next Sunday. In the meantime, tune in tomorrow morning for Woodward and Witt.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really?
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.